Well, welcome to BizTalk Serverland. Hi everybody, I'm Scott. How you doing? You're actually in Eddie's office, and you'll see Eddie in a minute. He's the bright guy over here, and I mean his shirt, not his intellect. Anyway, you're here to learn about something we're calling the Solution Designer. And let me tell you how it all got kicked off. Well, one day, I went into Eddie's office and I said, you know what? Developing these BizTalk things too hard. Let's make it easier in the future after 06. Can I have one of these, please? And I went to his whiteboard and I said, I think what I need to be able to do is receive things, send things, in the middle maybe do some orchestration, connect them up. Yeah, something like that. Can I have one of those, please? How about it, Eddie?
Yeah, so we took that out.
Well, first of all, who are you guys?
Come on, look at me
and forget the cameras here for now.
I'm Skull Gated. I'm just, you know, part of the All Black team in my dreams, and the rest of the time I hang out on BizTalk.
The All Black team.
It's all about the All Blacks, baby. See, there's the Lions loss. Oh, I got it all on a t-shirt.
And that's your loss record?
That's a win, thank you.
Anyway, so I'm Eddie Churchill. I'm PM over in DevTools on BizTalk.
Okay.
I'm Prasad, I'm a developer in the solution designer team.
Awesome.
Uday Vaskarat, dev lead in the dev tools team on BizTalk.
Okay. And?
Hi, I'm Jordan, another developer on solution designer.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, what is BizTalk? Because I've never seen BizTalk before, and I'm coming into this completely green.
do you want to give a shot, or do you want me to just do this one, Scott? You have a story made up, right?
Go right ahead.
Okay, fine. So BizTalk is really... In the long run, it's an integration server, okay? It basically takes information from some particular machine, sends it to another particular machine, and does something in between. Bill has a shorter description of it. We're not going to use those words. So anyway, there are things that, I mean, we talk to SAP, SQL Server, we have these things called adapters, which know how to talk to the outside world. We have a thing called pipelines, which convert what they're saying into stuff that we understand. BizTalk actually only understand XSD instances inside. So first thing that a pipeline does is convert everything into XML. So then you go through like standardization transformations. In other words, there may be a SAP customer, there may be a SQL Server customer, or whatever type of customer scheme is coming in. We have to convert it to a standard customer. And then BizTalk does stuff with it. You can either route it to particular destination servers, or you can do orchestrations and all sorts of fancy stuff. And then it goes out another transformation layer, and then it goes out another pipeline to convert it to what the outside world understands, and then it goes out through an external adapter to SAP, SQL Server, you name it. Okay. How many different adapters are there now?
Quite a few now.
Okay, fine. He's not going to give us numbers.
Spoken like a marketing guy.
Yeah. All right. So
they're slippery, you know, those marketing people.
Very, very slippery. Okay, so we went through a whole bunch of different UI designs.
Yep.
Over here. Okay. So over here, this is what Scott came in with us one day, and we cleaned it up, and we made a little tiny presentation, and it was information came in, you went through an orchestration, information went out. BizTalk's not this simple, because the outside world's not this simple. So we started looking at other types of how this would scale up, and we did all sorts of playing around ideas. We then took the whole thing and went like this, and we started doing it like this, and this didn't really work really well. We had some other funky ideas. This one here, rotating, nice 3D stuff. This is some sort of astrology version of BizTalk. Then we came up with this one. This was my personal favorite. This is the Saturn view, as we call it. These are how you talk to the outside world. This would have been really cool, but business users don't like circles, it turns out. So then we came up with this one, which is things come in, you do stuff with it, things go out. And that's the one that we sort of ran with for a while. Let me bring up the actual product.
Okay.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so here we are. Sort of the same view that we just saw.
Whoa, slow down. What is this?
This is the actual solution designer. When you start up Visual Studio and you're working with BizTalk now.
Yeah.
And we actually present them with a big view of all the different pieces that make up a BizTalk application. But we do it in a sort of visual fashion. We don't have this in the current version of BizTalk. This will be out in
sometime after.
Sometime after now, right? As besides,
that's the official launch date.
Sometime after
the official launch date.
Oh boy!
So this is not shipping in BizTalk 7
right. 2006. We are going to be showing this off at PDC. It will be framed as being the future of BizTalk.
Okay.
Sometime after now, as they say. Okay,
and
so...
to clarify, this is the BizTalk Solution Designer.
This is the BizTalk Solution Designer, not the White Horse Solution Designer. The White Horse Solution Designer sits on top of the BizTalk Solution Designer, not okay. to get them upset. Okay, so so a first-time user, when they're starting to build BizTalk application, they sit here and they don't really know where to start, so we provide little guidance bubbles in places and... start off with, here's things that are coming in, here are things going out, and here is what goes on in between. So we use that metaphor we just described as how BizTalk works. Okay. You just, real simple, click here, I'm going to make a new input, I'm going to receive on this one, and you get a port. Now, ports take information from the outside world. In this particular case, we have a location, and it's a file adapter, file. And you can, of course, double-click on it, configure where you want this information to come from. Let's do something just to get rid of the silly little error. Move, or feed, since I typed it wrong. So the information, what ends up happening in the real world right now is this thing here is now pointing to this particular folder. Any XML messages that get dropped into this folder get picked up by the adapter, converted into XML. In this particular case, it just passes it through because it is XML. It might go through maps to transform it. In this case, we're not going to bother. And when it's done, the XML comes into BizTalk.
Now, what's maps?
Maps are an XSLT transformation.
Okay. So I like virtual Earth maps.
That's no. Unfortunately, it's nowhere near as cool as the virtual Earth stuff. That's unfortunate. Yes.
It will transform one XML message to another XML message.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So this particular input can come from actually practically an infinite number of locations, okay? But in this particular case, we're just going to take from this one file folder.
Okay.
And we're going to send this information to, we'll say we're sending it out, we'll put it into a different file. Now this could be on a different machine, or it could be we were sending it out to an HTTP location, SOAP, SharePoint services. These are all the different adapters that exist. You can do an EDI message going to the outside world, lots of different stuff. And in this case, we're not going to bother fixing this up. We also have the capability of what's called a secondary adapter or a backup adapter. If this fails for whatever reason, it just rolls over and starts sending it out to here. So we'll leave the pipeline alone, but we can pick other pipelines. And we'll actually go and show you what pipelines look like in just a second. So we've got this port. Information comes in from here, goes out to here, so all we have to do is drag and do that. Now, if you were having to do this with C-sharp code, you would have to somehow or another set up a file watching class that basically looks for what's going into this particular folder. You would have to load that information in, you would have to write the code to convert it into standard XML, any types of transformation that's needed to do. Then you have to basically set up an additional file location that you're going to be sending things out to, once again, do the sort of reverse of this. It's a lot of code.
Yeah.
Here, we sort of work at a macro level. We literally, instead of object-oriented programming, we're literally programming with objects. Okay. So right here, we're probably talking maybe 100, maybe 200, 300 lines worth of code. And to us, it's just drag and drop, put things in various places, and go.
Now, can you get to that to the code underneath?
Sure.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, we'll go to a particular map, this particular map here. This is Internet to Standard. Now, this is one of the maps that could exist right here. I could go here and say, all right, I want to add an incoming map. We're going to have an Internet Standard map here. And now that map, which if I double-click on it, come back to here, this is a visual representation of the XSLT, okay? If I wanted to, I could actually put code inside of this transformation between this schema and this schema. I could actually come over here, and I could go, let's see, where's some code? Code. There we go.
Three developers in the room, we should be able to find some code.
Should be able to find some code. So I can come here. If I need to do some code between these two fields. Go over here, configure my little script. Say, in this particular case, I could do inline C-sharp code, JScript, XSLT, or just call out to an external assembly. So I could just do inline C-sharp code and write whatever I need to do inside of here. So if you need to actually do code, you can. Likewise, over in pipelines, back out to here, do I have any pipelines sitting around? Pipeline. So this is a pipeline. Sorry, we have to load it. There we go. So this is a visual representation of a pipeline. Now, pipelines would go right here. Right-click, flat file, order. And of course, if I double-click on that, go right back over to here. Now, these components, this is a flat file disassembler. You actually have lots of different components sitting out here. Party resolver, XML validators, things of this nature. The cool thing is, if you need to, for custom features, you can actually go off and create brand new pipeline components that are just basically almost like a standard C-sharp type class. So you can do anything you want if you do special decoding or validation. But once again, the user then ends up just piecing it all together in a visual fashion.
Right.
So this is the closest thing actually Microsoft has to a pure visual programming environment. When you deal with something like a Windows application or an ASP.NET application, other than front page, which is, you know, like web form designing, website designing,
yep,
this is actually literally programming with visualizations. So go over here. We can even do things like orchestrations, which are a fancier thing from point A to point B, but I'll get to that in a second. So say you don't want everything coming from this going to this. You actually want to refine it a bit. We can collapse these things out to give us more room. And we can say we're only interested in... There we go. We're only interested in orders. So now we're saying I'm interested in everything coming from here that is an order. Okay. And let's say we're only interested in orders that are over 100. Greater than 100.
Wow, that was cool.
Okay. Let's go ahead and create another output. We aren't going to bother setting it up. We'll just do something simple here. And in this case, we're actually interested in everything
. So this is what we call content-based routing in BizTalk. Based on the content of the XML message, you are basically routing the message to two different ports.
Yeah. Right, right.
So, Prasad, how would you do that today with BizTalk Server 2006? What it is doing up there? So why is this different?
Yeah, today you'll have to go to the BizTalk administration console, and you'll have to basically manually type out all those clauses which tell you how to route those messages from the input ports to the output ports.
Right.
Uh-huh. Here you can basically visually design your routing logic on the surface.
Right. Let me show what that would look like. So we would go over to the admin, which were to come up. This is sitting inside of the standard MMC or management console. We go to an individual port. Wrong one. Go to the send ports, because over here these are your receive ports where you're receiving things from, and this is where you're sending things out.
Right.
So the admin console refers to them as receive and send ports. And let's look at EU inventory. This is a port whose job in life is to deal with European orders. So this is what the filter looks like here. And it's pretty simple. I mean, you know, I'm interested in all messages whose characteristics are its receive port is this, it's of this message type, it is a dealing with widgets, and it's going to the EU. And in this particular case, refers to a bunch of other ports. Inside of the solution designer, it ends up looking something like this. We can import in from the server as well. We don't have to create things from scratch. So when we visualize it, it looks something like this. We're interested in things coming from orders that is an order that is a widget and is going to the EU, okay? Or it's coming from SQL orders. It's also the same thing. Or right. If it's SAP returns, going the same way.
How do you? Now that I'm seeing what BizTalk is, how do you know you need BizTalk? And this is certainly looking like it's not Flight Simulator, right?
It's not Flight Simulator.
It's for enterprises, right?
Right. This is really for enterprise developers who don't want to slog through the details of C# programming or VB programming and redoing everything they just did. This allows them to work at a much higher level, macro level development, literally using existing pieces and putting them together in different ways, but without having to go back in and revisit the code every time.
Right.
It's for business developers. It's not for the infamous hardcore developers who are big into, I want to do the coding every particular time. There's whole runtime systems that sit behind this, a thing called MessageBox, which basically handles messages coming in, routing them to new places, making copies of information, dealing with all the drudgery of that without the user having to deal with it all the time.
Right.
Also, it's really designed for the business developer who wants to live at a more abstract level. A lot of times what happens is the managers show up and they'll draw it on a little tiny piece of paper, I want to take SAP orders over this particular amount to go over to here and do whatever. And if the business developer had to go down and actually write the code for all of this stuff every time, they would probably go insane, because there's just lots of little tweaky things that they have to set up behind the scenes and manage all the servers. Another thing you have to understand with this, what you're looking at from an admin point of view, these might be running on a whole different set of machines than this over here. You could spread out your entire environment across farms, yeah, multiple hosts, things of this nature. So it's like stated, if you had to deal with all those details, you would probably go nuts very quickly. So, is it designed for doing Xbox games? No.
Yeah.
The Xbox guys use this, though, to do parts of Xbox Live's internal management for dealing with users and things of this nature.
Interesting.
So, while it's not quite as cool as Xbox, if it wasn't for stuff like this, you probably wouldn't have all the features you have in Xbox Live.
Right.
So,
what kind of systems are built on BizTalk?
What type of customers?
Yeah, banks or
banks, banks, inventory management systems. I mean, basically anything that's a business-to-business system that you can come up with a description of the process, you know, how it actually works, you can apply it to this. In fact, some people actually use it for helping to manage what humans do with their work. That's human workflows and stuff of this nature. We don't.
Is that you or me? It's the second time this happened today. Hold on a second. Let me just shut that up. Sorry.
Back?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. What people use this for is, I mean, they do all sorts of crazy stuff when it comes down to order fulfillment, managing international order systems.
Enterprise application integration. It seems heavy in the healthcare industry, in the financial industry. So
we could give you a bunch of names, but I'm not too sure if we're allowed to actually use the customer names for this purpose.
PR doesn't like that.
PR doesn't like that.
Because then I have to get their approval. And
yeah. Continuing merrily along, one of the big problems that we find with our developers is they have these little ports out here like EU inventory and AP inventory, and they don't know how they're actually alike.
Yeah.
Okay. And right now, we've got AP inventory and US inventory sitting in here.
Yep.
And, I mean, how are they different? I mean, if I come in here and I look at this guy here and I look at its filter, it looks pretty similar to the other one, but is it? So one thing that we can do is we can actually bring in multiple guys. Let's see, I've already brought in EU, bring in Asia Pacific and US. Let's go ahead and get rid of the little guidance bubbles, because we're programmers. We don't need guidance bubbles. And here we can see that the US inventory, AP inventory, and EU inventory are exactly the same, with the exception of this one last bit, what the destination is, okay? Now, we could do something like this. Let's do an OR clause here. And we'll say it's coming from, let's see, source. Say we've been just been told, and this is what happens all the time out in the world. You've got this wonderful stuff, you've set it all up, and your boss comes in and says, all right, U.S. handles everything going to the United States unless it comes from Europe. Yeah. And if it comes from Europe, the European guys will deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's go ahead and say source is... Yeah, sources. Okay. So you get this really ugly relationship for just a second. Delete that one. We will do that. Alright. So the EU is now being told about everything that's going on if it comes from the EU. Now, depending on the destination, these other people will be notified as well. But the EU now knows about everything that's coming from them. Okay? So doing changes like that, that simple modification, we would have had to have go over to practically everywhere, okay, and change to their properties, add some additional filters into this thing, and it just is tedious.
Yeah.
So doing that one change, or say if I want to modify this particular guy and we're no longer dealing with widgets, we're now dealing with foobars, all right?
Yep.
And, of course, it's saying that I don't actually have a foobar in the system, but that's okay. We'll ignore it. Making modifications like that really simple is a lot faster with this type of visualization than dealing with all this stuff. Now, you can also do orchestrations. Let me bring up a different application here real quick. Order processing. Nah. Now, this isn't just for first-time users, okay? We also put in support so that it can literally learn from what people have been doing in 2004 and 2006.
Right.
Because one of the biggest problems that we came across was every time a new release of something comes out, like Visual Studio or whatever, say, you know, a brand new way of doing forms, which will probably happen when we move from WinForms to Avalon,
yep,
all the stuff you've done, you have to redo. This pretty much drives users insane, okay? Because they didn't actually get anything out of it. It's just that we decided we're going to change how it works. So in this case, we literally, as you've noticed, when we import in from the server, we don't have to teach it something new. We just brings it in and lays it out for you automatically, you know, nice and clean. So in this particular case, we have an this is an existing application. We have an orchestration sitting out here. Now, an orchestration is sort of like these guys. These guys sort of make decisions on how information gets moved to the system.
Yeah.
But this particular orchestration is more than just a simple conditional. It actually takes information in, decides, might do stuff with it. Have you interviewed anybody from the workflow group?
Nope.
Oh, okay, fine. You need to do that.
I'm going to.
Yeah, okay, fine. No problem.
That's tomorrow's gig.
That's tomorrow's gig? Okay, fine. All right.
So, I'm getting around to all the cool stuff.
But we actually have another one that we can show you, but we don't have time.
Yep.
And it's an improved XSLT visual mapper.
Okay.
But not today. That'll take too long.
We can always come back.
Oh, yes, that's fine. Well, actually, for that one, we're going to drag over people from MSR, Microsoft Research, because they were heavily involved with developing that. And they'd get a kick out of being on TV.
Oh, they always do.
Yes, they do.
And they have the coolest stuff, too.
So, this is an orchestration. The workflow stuff is sort of an advanced version of this visual style of programming. It's the same types of stuff. You've got decisions and delay loops and loops and parallel scoping and all sorts of crazy stuff. I won't go into detail because you'll learn all about this in the next one.
Are you using the Visio editor there?
This isn't Visio, but it's a direct descendant of all that craziness. Okay. The very first version of BizTalk had workflows or orchestrations. BizTalk 2002 had workflows and all that type of stuff, and it was actually implemented as macro sets from hell sitting inside of Visio, best I could tell. And
the devs are...
That's right. Yeah.
The devs are going, yeah.
And that... The descendant of that, in fact, some of the after Visio got bought by Microsoft or whatever, ended up doing the orchestration designer, which is OD, which is what this thing is.
Yep.
This is 2004 was the first time this came out, And then they decided to generalize it and turn it into Windows Workflow Foundation.
Right.
It's gone through a bunch of different names, so Scott's back there. Yay, that's the name.
That's the name this week.
That's the name this week.
I think we'll even announce it as that.
No problem. So this is a simple workflow. Information comes in, a decision is made, and depending on if it's equal to this, and right now it's not set up quite correctly, that's why you got these little error marks all over the place, information either goes to this orchestration port or this orchestration port. Right. I could just as easily bring in and do like a transform there. So as the data comes in, and if it's this, then I'm going to transform the information a certain way and then send it out. Otherwise, send it out just like it is over here. So if you come back over here, when you look at the orchestration at this macro level, you have your little orchestration ports. Those are those little boxes on either side. Yeah. And connecting them up, it's just like connecting up these little clauses here.
Yeah.
So once you learn how to do this at this high level, it's just using the exact same stuff over and over again.
I think even I could do that.
You think you could even? We've actually had people in management be able to do this. We're actually impressed. Anyway.
Honestly, I think this is easier than Flight Simulator.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to know what F12 right. is or all that other stuff. Just drag and drop.
Now, a couple things that we have built into this. You'll notice that it's always auto-laying out stuff. Okay. Yeah. What we found was users really hated having to lay everything out manually all the time. So there's a couple things we can do here. First of all of these relationships here, all of these guys,
yeah.
they're all sort of interconnected. They're interconnected through connections through SAP returns, and as such, we automatically show, we notice how big these regions are, and we just say, okay, so that's a region, and we can collapse these things out, shrink them down so that you can actually have room and see what else you've got going on. We can also do scrolling up and down over here, all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, that shows you the whole map. Oh.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and bring back in those ports again because, oops, wrong thing. Import from server. EU and AP, bring those in. Let's make things really big and ugly. Okay. Oh, right. They're fidgets now. Yeah. Okay, so let's rename this. Okay, now if everything goes right, what's going to happen is it's going to notice that this is no longer widget, but it's fidget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to say, oh, they're all the same. Yeah. So it cleans up stuff really well. Like this guy here should not be customer because it's coming from returns. It's actually return. Okay? So basically... Yes, it's a return. It's coming through here. It's a return, and we're going to log things to log returns. So we've actually fixed things just by looking at the surface, and we're seeing that things are just wrong. When we change that from returns, we probably fixed up about 12 or so different clauses all over the place. So here we are with customer, dispatch. Let's go ahead and hook these guys up. What I am doing right now takes about... probably over 100 different steps in the current BizTalk. So we're actually speeding things up considerably with what we're doing here. The other thing that's kind of neat is Visual Studio is all about a staged version of the world. When you're twiddling with things, you're not actually changing it in the real world. So like when you're changing a form inside of your application, you're literally not changing it on 12 million computers out there at once,
yep.
Okay? Which would be bad, but a fun thing to try to do. Anyway, in the current version of BizTalk, we sort of partially live, partially not live from Visual Studio's point of view. Here, it's completely staged. And until you press deploy, none of this is actually changing out in reality. This makes it a lot more like what the VS customers are sort of used to dealing with.
Now, watching this looks really killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people are going, well, why can't I have it right now?
Why can't you have it right now?
Because the devs are going, well, if you click on this button, you'll see why.
Actually, before you came, we were fiddling around with it. It was blowing up right and left, and we're just looking at each other. Wasn't this stable?
Yeah.
We just went through a usability study with a whole bunch of first-time customers. And while this all looks wonderful and everything like this, it's not fully hooked up to the back end.
Yeah.
Because if it was fully hooked up to the back end, well, then we would be able to ship it. But it's not... It takes time. And
Yeah, we are only showing stuff which is cool and, you know, which currently works today.
Yeah, which currently works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not even going to talk about this stuff down here. This is an entire discussion into itself.
Okay.
One thing that this version does have working that's pretty neat is search. You've been to the MSN search guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine. So they have something similar to this inside of their desk bar or their search bar. This is sort of a scroll bar. In fact, if you want to, you can actually turn it into a scroll bar, and now it's a scroll bar again. Okay? Or you can just go into this preview mode, and you can see the entire sort of visualization of what's going on. In fact, if you expand things, you'll see things appear over here. It works like you would expect. But we also, because we like the MSN desk bar, we decided to steal more ideas from them. So I'm going to go ahead. This is the search thing right now. It should be using this one, but it isn't. This is another example of why we're not shipping it yet. Let's see. What can we search for? EU. So as I type things in, it auto-collapses out things that aren't, that EU is not in.
Yeah.
And it highlights the things that EU is in, and it even highlights things over here. Okay. In fact, if you were using your scroll bar, it would highlight things like this. If you roll over them, it'll tell you, or at least it's supposed to. Come on. There you go. Okay. You got to speed up that, man. Anyway. But this type of desk bar as applied to a development environment is something that we're sort of a big proponent of.
Okay.
And Eddie, you're showing like 10 filter expressions, but most customers will have like massive big grids of functionality going up and down all over this everywhere, so that search functionality is a heck of a lot easier when you do that.
Yes.
In fact, this is kind of similar to the mapper, isn't it, Prasad?
Yes.
Wonder where we got our ideas for the mapper from.
So yeah, the odd story here is it's not actually built on top of like White Horse type technology, even though it sort of looks like it because it's got boxes and lines.
Right.
We
White Horse is the code name for what?
White Horse.
The VSTS stuff.
It's the
Visual Studio Team System.
Designer. Yeah, the little application or inter-application designer thingy. I guess it's VSTS.
That must be its official name.
I don't know. We don't work for that group, so we don't know their official names. I mean, we barely know our official names.
Yeah.
So we started working on an improved version of the mapper, the XSLT mapper. That sort of, it was really cool, did lots of great stuff, but we didn't get finished with that. We then, when he originally described what the new version of BizTalk's first-time user was going to be like, Scott described it, we looked at it and we went, this is sort of like the mapper, so we went off and down this direction. But like stated, we need to show you the original mapper. It's pretty cool all into itself. I mean, this right here would probably have taken, you know, tens of thousands or 100,000 lines worth of code to put this together.
Yeah.
And we just sort of lobbed it together in, a few minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what BizTalk's really about. You know, you've done this code. You've done it a million times already. Modularize it, put it off to the side, and just reuse the components together. Macro level development.
Yep.
So.
Well, this is really cool stuff.
Yep.
I could see how a lot of businesses would use this.
Yes, and we use it internally a lot.
Yeah.
So we just announced this workflow stuff at PDC.
Right.
How does this Surface relate to the Windows Workflow Foundation stuff? I mean, this is a future prototype, so how is that going to work out together?
Well, in the simplest way, these orchestrations will now be in the future version will be simply Windows workflows, period. Okay. It's just that simple. Indigo and how all that works, these lines right now represent nothing but message box hops, in other words, dealing with the message box. These relationships that are sitting over here represent parts of the services that the message box provides. Inside of here, these types of lines will probably end up being, these will end up being Indigo transport type channels. The pipelines themselves will end up being Indigo stacks and things of this nature. The maps and the XSLT maps will just be the XSLT maps we have today. I mean, it's everything that you've learned here will just be applicable over there. We're just sort of doing a find and replace of all of our technologies to bring it up to the latest stuff.
Yeah.
So. Or anything else down workflow front?
I can't think of
it. I mean, I'm not trying to dismiss workflow by any stretch, but it's just sort of just part of it all.
So what are you guys announcing at the PDC?
At PDC proper, there's, of course, the big launch of workflows. It's going to be part of the platform proper,
yeah,
the long-run platform.
That tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we, of course, are going to be talking about 2006, which is the BizTalk version just before this one.
Okay. So this is like 2007, 2008?
It's after 2006, okay? It's after 2006. It is very, very apparent to us, based on user reaction, that we are going to try to bring this type of technology out as fast as possible, but it'll still be after 2006.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's plenty more stuff that we can do on this surface now that we have this surface, so... We'll let that speculation lie.
Oh, come on. You can imagine debugging, you can imagine all types of things coming
right
out, tracking out of the service.
Tracing, yeah. Tracing, tracking, BAM support, which is business activity management, or monitoring? Which is it?
Let's go with monitoring.
Managing and
monitoring?
Okay, fine. Things like post-debugging or historical debugging, which is HAT, where you're not debugging what's going on live, but you're debugging based on a recorded history of what happened in a particular site.
Right.
I mean, I know as a developer, I would love to be able to go to a person's machine and actually debug through what happened when the problem occurred. Rarely you can do that. You have to actually debug what's happening right this second. But there's facilities built into BizTalk that allow you to do historical type debugging. Great stuff. And debugging simulations where you can literally just drop an instance down in one of these things and then watch it bounce through the little boxes. And then, of course, real full-fledged type debugging. Those would all be really, really cool to do. And we might show off something at PDC. We're not too sure yet.
Okay.
It really depends on how well things work between now and then. But anyway.
Lots of sleepless nights between now and then?
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yes. Is there anything else that we're
so
demoing?
Do you
want
to talk about the Artifact Explorer briefly, or do you want to skip that?
We can
what,
talk.
What part did you guys play in this?
Okay, so...
So the three of us are part of the dev team.
Right.
And Eddie is the program manager that works with us on this feature.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what are you proudest of in this product?
So,
what would you be showing the other devs in the hall going ahead?
So one of the key things that we started off focusing on early on was scalability. So we want to support the surface for very large applications when you have a lot of artifacts, when you have a lot of objects on the screen. So if you notice, right, the auto layout stuff, the clause merging stuff, and the preview bar, and so all the scalability features are pretty, pretty cool. And this is probably one of the most advanced UI from this division, I guess. Pretty cool UI stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we started working on this, we asked what they call the TAP customers, which is, or no, TAC, Technical Advisory Council.
Yeah.
We have so many acronyms here. Anyway, so we asked the TAC
customers. We have a whole book of them.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And it's not up to date. Anyway, so we asked them what the dimensions of their applications were. In other words, how big things were. And there were places where we thought they would have hundreds of things that they had two, okay? And places where we thought they would have twos of things where they had thousands. And based on that, we knew right off the bat that we had to make it so that this thing dealt with thousands of things on the outside, hundreds of things on the inside, very, very complex arrangements, and multiple projects inside of a solution, you know, all that type of garbly-goop. And the other thing that we noticed was that they had a tendency to organize things the way, however they organize things. They would put some things in some projects, some things in others. They wouldn't necessarily put all schemas in one place. They might spread them out all over the place. However they organize things. And that was the Artifact Explorer that they're talking about down there. Here, I'll show you this one over here. So the Artifact Explorer is this sort of one-stop, type-centric view of your Visual Studio solution. So normally over here in the Solution Explorer, you've got two projects here, one with a orchestration in this project and a whole bunch of other stuff in this other project. And you've got things in like referenced assemblies buried inside of here, so there's stuff inside of these things that you're referring to, but you don't know what they are, mm-hmm. And it's hard to find things. So what we do over here is we give you a different presentation. It's here are your schemas, here are all your maps, here are all your pipelines, here are all your orchestrations, no matter where they come from, okay? And if you click on them, it'll come into view and it'll show you which one it is. Like here's incoming port, SAP orders, that's that guy over there, SQL orders, that's that one here. And it's just, it helps you find things inside of your application. It's all nicely sorted so you don't have to worry about what project they're in and things of this nature.
Yeah.
Also, another thing that we discovered when we were playing with or talking to our users was if we asked them to add a new schema or a new whatever to their projects, they would have to grasp the fact they have to come over here, they have to click on this, they have to right-click, they have to guess it's add, they have to go to new item, they have to then find the right type of item, in this case, say, a schema, and then they type it in. Here, they click on schema, they click on add a new schema, what type of schema you want to add, say a plain schema, what project you want to put it in, and then you type in the name, you click add, and poof, you're in the schema designer. Okay? And it's a more type-centric or artifact-centric version of the solution designer. And we have lots of grand plans for this thing down here, but we're not going to talk about them right now.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Anything else I should know about BizTalk or...
Anything else?
Well, maybe if I can close on this.
Sure.
The solution designer perspective. Obviously, BizTalk Server 2006 is pretty productive for developers, but we did a lot of work on administration. So the administration capabilities in BizTalk Server 2006 are just tons better than in previous versions. Going further forward, the whole point of this BizTalk solution designer is to make it much easier for just your average VB developer, just your average C# developer, to get out there and build with BizTalk Server and build stuff. So it's making it simpler moving further forward, and of course integrating it with the workflow technologies and the communication technologies that are part of Vista.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for spending some time. You weren't on camera much. So.
Nope. Jordan is the newest developer on the team.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So.
You started how long ago?
About 5 months ago.
About five months ago. Yeah. He's been working a lot on the Artifact Explorer and allowing you to sort of click on things and things just sort of pop up out of existence. And also he's done a lot of work on the error handling. So if sort of like a built-in lint, is there are things that you have to do. That's what Mr. Jordan has been working on. We've learned a lot about how BizTalk works, how you can hook certain things up to certain places, and we need to tell the user that that's not going to make sense in that type of configuration.
Yeah.
Hooking up one way is the two ways, where the responses are going back to where? You know, things you have to deal with. So
now, you said you guys just came out of user testing.
Yes.
Tell me about that process, because I've heard about it from the user testing manager's point of view, but not really from a dev team's point of view.
Well, it was fascinating. One thing that it didn't dawn on me was going to happen was it was sort of like a beta test, okay? We were effectively handing off this poor piece of software, which is not ready for the outside world, to the outside world, okay? And all of a sudden we're running around and trying to, fix this. And you have to come up with a script that the users are going to follow. And then as you go through this script, you realize what you haven't done yet. So you're constantly going off and fixing the software in order to make it so that the users can actually use it. And then you go over there, you get some really great users. In our case, we went after users that have never used BizTalk before. This is sort of our Achilles heel, into that there's so many pieces to BizTalk. For a first-time user who's never done anything like it before, being able to get up to speed in an hour and a half, because that's pretty much all the time they have. But without being able to go out and search on the internet for information, not being able to ask their buddy who's next door, the only thing you've got to help you is the voice of God, which is the person in usability who's speaking to you through this speaker, because they're not in the room. And it's fascinating to watch these brand new people use a brand new piece of software, which is barely baked, okay, and we're sitting there and they're learning the whole thing as they go along, and at the end of every one of those sessions, we come scurrying back over here, fix bugs that we find, improve things. In fact, for the first couple of days, we went off and changed the software after every time, and then we said, okay, no more changes, see how it goes. And the users were doing great with it. We were actually very, very impressed with how well the users did with the software. But it's a nerve-wracking experience. You're sitting over there behind the glass wall, screaming at the monitor, going, click there! And fortunately, they can't hear us. So that works out really well.
It's a one-way
one-way mirror.
Glass ceiling,
right,
through which you can see the watch the users play with the software.
Yeah, we had a tour of the labs, or one of the labs, so we could see.
Yeah, you really ought to go over there in the middle of one of these usability things, because we joked about the fact we have videos of the user using the stuff. We really need a video of these poor devs and PMs and tester types who are in this other room just going completely bonkers because they can't move the mouse for the user. I mean, like this here, we asked the user, brought up this particular application, and we said, okay, which product is it?
Yeah.
What product is this dealing with? And it's right here in the middle. It says product ID equals fidget.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're sitting there and it's just like, it's in the middle of the screen. And they're over here looking. Yeah. And they eventually find it, and it's just like, now if they had known about this, they would have typed in product. Oops. And there it is, highlighted. They didn't know about it at the time. But you can imagine first-time users, as they're using this stuff, and we had actually told them about this, because, of course, we don't tell them anything.
Yeah.
The entire description they got for their first task, which was learning BizTalk, was this much text. But it's fun to watch. It'll drive you completely bonkers.
I imagine, because this is a different UI than they probably...
Right.
It's not like, you know, going to MSN or...
Right.
Or Word or... You know, so, you know, it's something new, and
right,
it's very interesting to... I imagine it would be very interesting to watch the first time users come into this. And,
now, a lot of them were all Visual Studio heads. In other words, they knew a lot about Visual Studio. And one thing you'll notice that when we were doing all this stuff, we never went over here to do things, and we never went to the toolbox to do things. In fact, there's nothing in the toolbox at the moment. And the people who use VS expected, okay, if I'm going to create a new port, how do I do this? I go over here and I drag out a port. Well, that wasn't part of our original plan, okay?
Yeah.
It's now in the version of the, I mean, it's now in the product. It's not in this particular version, but it's in the one that we'll be showing off at PDC. Because the users showed us, this is how I expected it to work.
Yeah.
I'm in Visual Studio. It should work like Visual Studio. So we're actually revving everything in order to match what the users are expecting. We learned a lot.
The old problem of users learn something some way and trying to change
it. Oh, yeah. In fact, that was the funny thing when we were going through it. First-time users took about an hour to get past the first three tasks. Returning users, expert users, took about an hour to get past the first three tasks because they were unlearning as much as these people were learning. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in the end, everybody pretty much passed. There was only one first-time user that didn't finish, but if we had let him go for another 30 minutes, he would have been done, okay? But, so that was gratifying. In fact, our experts in-house looked at our task list, and they went, this would have taken a number of hours to do in what we do today. And first-time users picked it up and just ran with it, so.
Every single person completed.
Yeah, except for one newbie, and they just didn't, they had a hard stop. They had to go, so they couldn't stick around to actually finish what they were doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we even took back some changes, some ideas, and we may actually incorporate some of them into 2006 because they just helped so much.
Yeah. Well, it's nice seeing you guys take a risk on different UI and trying some interesting things.
Oh, this software has gone through many revisions, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still think it would have looked cool with Saturn. That would have been really neat. Because then we could have had different applications that sort of orbit each other.
Yeah.
And that would have been really, really nice. And rotate
the surface. Maybe that'll be the Avalon
version. That would be the Avalon version. We can't wait for Avalon. That'll actually let us do some of this stuff.
When we started off, the dev team was very, very keen on working on a 3D user interface.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we were
looking at getting 3D somewhere into the picture. But we decided to go with the 2D surface.
Well,
well, it's enterprise software.
That's right. Business users don't like circles. They like boxes. Yes.
No, you can't look like you're playing a video game. When you're
No.
I used to work at a big company with 115,000 employees, and it's like, no, you got to have boring-looking screens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we actually had a gel version that we were looking at with everything being round and all that type of stuff, and it looked really cool, and it didn't look like anything having to do with Visual Studio.
Yeah.
So seeing how we live inside of Visual Studio, it's a bit of a problem.
It's supposed to look professional as opposed to, you know, a game.
Yeah.
Now, the cool thing is, this is for developers, of course, okay?
Right.
The admin guys, speaking of which, Okay. floating outside the door.
Oh,
the admin
we have a new guy here. What's your name?
Chris Shankar.
Okay, and what do you do here?
I'm the lead PM for the IT Pro Experience.
Ah, okay.
The admin guys. Anyway, so the admin guys look at this and they go, yeah, fine, we want one too. Okay, so that's the next thing for us, is to try to figure out how to do this exact same type of experience and apply it to the administration space. And that they have their own set of things that they need, one of which not inside of Visual Studio. So we have to be careful what we do inside of here. Maybe over there we can use Saturn and things like that because we're not inside of Visual Studio.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. Where do you guys go to learn more about BizTalk? What's the best place to go for...
What? He was saying, go to Scott's blog.
Oh, yeah,
what
right.
He's saying.
Oh,
Scott has a book.
You have a blog?
He has a blog.
Oh, you have a blog.
I have a blog, not quite as popular as yours. Or Microsoft.com in the usual spots, and MSDN.
Right.
All those types
of things. So Microsoft.com/BizTalk?
Exactly. Yeah. Microsoft.com, BizTalk, blogs, MSDN.com. Scott Wu is my.
Scott Wu?
Yeah, a blog which gets a few people looking at every day.
All
right. Stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a blog for the DevTools team, also our team has a blog.
What's the URL for that?
blogs.msdn.com/BizTalk Design Tools.
All right.
But this
search on Google, or search on MSN.
But this
Steve Ballmer's going to slap me every time I say Google. I was just at Google last week.
So this stuff's not on there for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to have you back, and we'll show you off the new version of the visual mapping tool.
Very cool.
That's a whole world into itself, and it's really cool as well.
And which one? Who are you? Which of the team are going to the PDC?
I'm going to the PDC. I'll be showing off the sort of an enhanced version of this demo.
Okay.
And
are you going to be wearing the shirt? Because then everybody will recognize you. Hey, I saw you in that video.
I have a speaker shirt that's being tie-dyed.
Oh, no, we won't be able to recognize you.
I'll be the guy up there with the tie-dyed speaker shirt.
Okay.
Yes.
I think Prasad is going to the PDC.
Right, he'll be out in the audience heckling me and going, show them the auto-merging stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, cool.
We'll have
a fun time. Thanks for a fun 52 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.